జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్టో విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్యశీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యాయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవాం భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యథ ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదిదరదస్ చార్తేష్ అభిజ్ఞస్వరాట్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయాం తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కున్వాభరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణాన్ నిగమగల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాతమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావా పుత్రేది తన్మయదయ తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం హానతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొనిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం న కనికాపి కాపి కావి నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ హిరి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాదీ భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమ మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీయుధిరాధియాయ నమ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So, continuing from Ekadasha Skandam, in the fourth chapter, we were discussing about Drumila. So, Drumila asked, King Nimi asked Drumila, that what are the different incarnations one should worship? Which are Krishna's different incarnations? Which are Krishna's different incarnations? And in answer to that, Nimi, Drumila told him about the different incarnations of Krishna, which is already discussed in the previous 9 cantos of the Bhagavadam. But while talking about them, this Naranarayana Maharshi's incarnation was mentioned very specifically here. You can see that. It was mentioned here specifically about Naranarayana Rishi's incarnations. As you've seen, why Naranarayana Maharshi's incarnation? Because Naranarayana Maharshi protects the devotees in Kali Yugam. It is because of his tapasya, what is going on in Badrikashram, that devotees are still able to tolerate and live in this world. He is performing penances on our behalf. For our benefit, he performs that penances. Otherwise, this human society could have already gone into a worse situation than what it is today. So you can see, Akalpakala Sadhu Janabhirakshi. Sadhu Janabhirakshi means protecting the devotees. Krishna himself has taken that responsibility. Krishna himself has taken that responsibility. What is that responsibility? Protecting the devotees. If you are not protected, it is difficult to live like devotees in this world without Krishna's help. Krishna is controlling everything in this world. What situation should be here? You can see, if you look around, you will see all over the world what an amount of violence is going on, fighting and killing each other, all in the name of some frivolous thing, some silly thing, they have to fight and kill each other. Why the head has gone like that? Not able to think anything further than that why this human life, such a valuable thing Krishna has given to us, and we are forced to act under the spell of material nature. So ultimately, Krishna controls everything in this world. Indirectly or indirectly, he controls everything. And you can see, Agalpakala Sadhu Janabhirakshi, protecting devotees is also Krishna's responsibility. Krishna has at least given us that facility. Narayano Narasakha, Narayana Maharshi and Nara Maharshi together performed these penances for our welfare. If you look in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, you will see this very clearly. In different parts of this earthly planet, you have seen Kimpurisham, Ilavradam, Harivarsham, Ketumalam, Bhadrashvam. Like that it is listed, all the different varshas. Out of that in Bharatavarsham, the sages who protects us is Naramaharshi and Narayana Maharshi. And who is our spiritual master here? Eternally, who is conducting the spiritual activities here is Narada Maharshi. So, Sri Narada Maharshi controls he is our guide, and Narada Maharshi and Narayana Maharshi performs the penances for our benefit. That's why they are specifically spoken here, Narada Maharshi and Narayana Maharshi. Anyway, Indra wanted to obstruct that, so he sent this, we saw the Apsaras women, and also the Malayamarada, the breeze, Vasantamaradas of the Vasanta season, and also Cupid came over to disturb Narayana Maharshi. Narayana Maharshi was not disturbed because Narayana Maharshi is Krishna himself. And then Narayana Maharshi, later on, you will see here, Idi Pragrahanam, verse 12 in the 4th chapter. Idi Pragrahanam Tesham Striyo Atyalbuda Darshanaha Darshayamasa Shishrusham Sorchidaha Kurvadi Vibhu. Then Narayana Maharshi is saying that when he saw all these inhabitants of the heavenly planets had come to see him and they were glorifying him, then and seeing their beauty and all that, Narayana Maharshi wanted to have a fun with them. He wanted to have a joke with them. They were proud of their beauty. These living entities who had come from the heavenly planets, they were very proud of their beauty, bodily beauty. And they were also bodily luster and their youth, everything. That was very much in their mind when they came here. And for inhabitants of this world, it's from a higher planets they are coming. We naturally get affected by their beauty and by their by their bodily luster. So Narayana Maharshi decided to show them what he can do. So what did he do? He beat his right thigh. And from there came about a lots of beautiful women. They appeared from there, from his thighs. Particularly among them, and how beautiful, not only they were beautiful and intelligent, and they were serving Narayana Maharshi in a nice way, which when they saw the Apsaras women and Cupid who came there, when they saw that, they felt shamed by their service, being there. Service. Te devanichara drishtva astriyaha shri rivarubinihi gandhena mamuhustasam rupa audarya hata shriyaha. That is what they are describing, these personalities who have come. That they were like Mahalakshmi. They were so beautiful, these women who came. They were so beautiful. And as soon as they saw them, they felt ashamed. And their beauty, the Apsaras women, their beauty, and Manmadha's Manmadha's beauty, they were all very, very, they were minimized completely by the presence of these personalities who came from Narayana Maharshi. Te devanujara drishtva astriya shri riva shri rubinihi gandhenam hustasam rupa udari hadashriyaham tanaha deva devesha pranadan prahasanniva asam egadamam vridhvam savarnam swargabhushanam. Then, even though they have appeared, Narayana Maharshi did not show any emotions or any disturbances in his mind, seeing that they were amazed by his control of the mind. After all, this mind is our whole problem, isn't it? When the mind gets steady, the whole purpose of spiritual life is also that, to get rid of this thing called mind. It is not, people sometimes in the outside world, they say, the devotees, they have this chanting, and they chant this holy name to bend the mind. Mind bending chanting, they call it. So, because they do not understand that this mind is the whole the whole problem originates from the mind. And especially mind, when the people, most of the people, they are frightened that when you tell them that there will be no mind after the spiritual life, once you leave the material body and get your spiritual activities together, this mind is nothing but the subtle body. The subtle body is this mind. and mind is the cause of sankalpam and vigalpam. This sankalpa vigalpa means these different kinds of thoughts that's coming to us all the time, one after the other, which is throughout the jagrat, the awakened state, as well as in the dream state. This is constantly happening. And it is much more powerful when you are in the dream state. It's much more powerful in the dream state, because in the jagrat state, the gross body and the senses are active. But gross body is quiet at the time while you are sleeping in the dream state. It's only the mind that is active at that point. So the mind becomes the predominating force even during that time. So the importance of controlling the mind. Mind causes all these dreams. Mind is causing the dream in the night, in the dream in the day as well. So both night dreams and the day dreams is due to the presence of the mind. And it is in this dream that we live our whole life. Imagine that. It is this dream that is keeping us going. This dream that is continuously coming from the mind. And that is why many even psychologists agree today that if we don't have this thing called mind, what would have happened to us? Somehow or the other, this mind keeps us to occupy doing something or the other in this world. Whether it is good or bad, without anything, at least it is giving desires, always projecting new and desires in the consciousness. It is making us to think and desire things. All this is coming from the mind. So this mind, when it comes under control, it is called Chittavritti Nirodham, that is called Yogam. Yoga means how we will link with Krishna. That happens when this mind is under control. And here you can see, Tanaha Deva Devesha Pranadan Prakasan Niva Asamegadamam Riddham Savarnam Surgabhushanam. That in order to make them feel comfortable, Narayana Maharshi says to them that I have no intention of punishing you, but if you like, you can take one of these, one of the women who have come from my thighs, you can take them with you and take them back to the spirit, to the heavenly planets. Seeing all the women were more beautiful, they could not make a decision. They thought they will go back with somebody from here, having failed in their mission, but at the same time, not at least being cursed by Narayana Maharshi, they were happy to escape from there. Om ityadeshamadaya natvatam suravandinaha urvashi apsara shreshtam puraskritya divam yayum. Then according to the desire of Narayana Maharshi, they decided to take Urvashi with them, because he was born from Uru. Uru means the thigh of Narayana Maharshi. She was given the name as Urvashi, and keeping Urvashi in the front, all the apsaras women, they went back to the heavenly planets. Went back to the heavenly planets. Urvashi went back to the heavenly planets. So although Urvashi was born here in this planet, she went to the spirit, she went to the heavenly planets and settled down there. Later on you will find another incident what happened with Urvashi. A great personality in the lunar dynasty, in the moon dynasty, called King Puriravas, from whom actually the lunar dynasty begins. He got attracted to this Urvashi, and King Puriravas went to the heavenly planet, saw Urvashi and got attracted to Urvashi and wanted to live with Urvashi for the rest of his life. And he prayed to Urvashi. Urvashi, he was crying after her. Urvashi came and stayed with him for some time and then left him and went back again. After that experience, Puriravas realized some higher understanding of life. Up to that time, Puriravas was completely infatuated with Urvashi, Urvashi's beauty. And that story will come, a whole chapter is there later on. Krishna will talk about this to Uddhava, because it is Krishna's predecessor, isn't it, in the lunar dynasty. So while Krishna was talking about this Puriravas, he will say about Urvashi, Urvashi's beauty, and the relationship between Urvashi and Puriravas. They are very important in the Bhagavadam. And there is after Urvashi went back to the heavenly planets, Puriravas sang a song. It's a song, and it is called Ailagidam. Ailagidam it is called. And this Ailagidam is particularly very important. And Ailagidam is one of the parts of Ekadasha Skandam. Because from realizations of Puriravas, practical realizations in his life, and that is what his Ailagidam is all about. So we'll see that later. Anyway, here Urvashi went back to the heavenly planets with them. So ഇന്ദ്രയാനമ്യ സദസി ശൃൺവദാം ത്രിദിവോ ഉഗസാം ഊചുർ നാരായണ ബലം ശക്രസ്തസ്ത്രാ സവിസ്മിതാഹം. ദെൻ ഇന്ദ്രയാനമ്യ സദസി ശൃൺവദാം ത്രിദിവോ ഉഗസാം. They went there and paid their obeisances to Indra. And they told Indra about the Ujur Narayana Balam, Narayana Maharshi's power. They explained to Indra, Shakrastatra Asavismidaham. Indra, after hearing all this, he was completely amazed by hearing about Narayana Maharshi's capabilities, Narayana Maharshi's spiritual strength. And he got a bit frightened for what he has done. He was concerned that something may happen to him, because earlier also he had enough experiences before. Narayana Maharshi's strength of austerities and penances, his mercy, overall his qualities, all these things, they spoke to Indra in presence of so many other demigods. As soon as Indra heard about that, Indra felt ashamed and also got a bit frightened for the offense he has committed to this great sage, Narayana Maharshi. So, Hamsaswarupyam vadadachyudamalpayogam datta kumara hrishabho bhagavan pithanam Vishnu Shivaya jagadam kalayava tirnasthenahada madhubida shrudayo hayasim. That important, after talking about this Narayana Maharshi's appearance, Then Udrumila is going to talk about various other incarnations and some other important incarnations he is going to talk about. Then Krishna has taken Hamsa Swarupyam Vadadachyudamatma Yogam Datta Kumara Hrishabho Bhagavan Pidanam. What all he has taken? He has taken the incarnation as Hamsam. That will also come in the 13th chapter of Ekadasha Skandam. It will come when Krishna has to take the form of a swan and he has to appear like that for the benefit of the world. What did he do? In that incarnation, he taught Lord Brahma about the science of spiritual life. We always take spiritual life is a simple thing. Spiritual life is not a simple thing. When you understand spiritual life, you can see that great, great personalities like Lord Brahma gets puzzled about spiritual life. They get doubts and their questions are answered by Krishna at that time. Krishna, of course, depending on the devotee's position, Krishna responds to them accordingly. So it is an important thing that Hamsa Swarupyam Adadachyudam Atma Yogam Datta Kumara Hrishabho Bhagavan Pidanam. Four Kumaras has appeared. Sanat Kumara, that appearance also was was also there. And Hrishabha Yogeshwara, Hrishabha incarnation, Hrishabhadev incarnation, that also Krishna has appeared in the form of Hrishabhadev. Krishna has appeared in the form of Dattatreya Maharshi. We will be discussing about Dattatreya in the next Uddhava, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. In that it will come about Dattatreya Maharshi's greatness. So Dattatreya Maharshi, Hrishabhadev, Sanal Kumara Maharshi, these are all Krishna's different incarnations in order to educate the world in spiritual life. That was the purpose of all these things. You will see, notice that also, when they all came here, they have delivered this world in different ways. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you can read the instructions from Dattatreya Maharshi, Rishabhadev, as well as Sanat Kumara Maharshi. They are all there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that realizations, what they had by following Krishna's instructions and the levels they have reached, is something worthwhile to follow, worthwhile to understand. Because there, from their realization, you can also see that generally what happens is, normally we have a great, great problem in us. We have a big problem in us. What is that problem? Problem is this. When a spiritual personality comes to this world and speak about Krishna and the glories of spiritual life, quite often what happens is, ordinary people, they get attracted to the personality who is presenting it. Seeing his qualities, his greatness, they get attracted to him and they forget the message. They forget the message. They have come to teach us this transcendental knowledge which Krishna has revealed in the Hindi, in the Vedas and Vedic literature, in the Upanishads and everything. And the great personalities who come here, they want to educate the society with the same knowledge, what they have realized from the Vedic literature. But often what happens is, in that process, you can see this in Bhagavad Gita also, even Arjuna got attracted to that Krishna's personality, and Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna started forgetting. This happens to everybody. Quite often, this is quite usual. And then what happens is, when that personality leaves, they are lost. Because they didn't take the message seriously, what he has come to teach us. The personalities get more pleased when we take the message seriously. Not by the little service, what we offer, physical service, what we offer them. Physical service is there, that has to be offered. But that itself is not the important thing. Important thing is the science of Krishna, what they have come to teach us. That's what they want us to learn from them. Instead, we get attracted to their qualities and their personality and we follow after that. Try to imitate that or try to keep that focused on that and keep on talking about it 24 hours. How this happened, that happened in his presence. They are all irrelevant as far as the spiritual knowledge is concerned. What the great personalities want us to do is to understand the message what Krishna has given to this world, which they will explain to us in their way, which we will understand. And instead of accepting that and taking the message seriously, we get carried away by the personality. This has happened throughout the history. All along you will find this. Therefore it is said like this. Even Arjuna himself was a victim of that. When Arjuna, before Krishna spoke anything about spiritual life and Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's mind was attracted to Krishna as his friend. He was thinking, Krishna is my friend and he will do what he wants me to do, whatever he will do for me, and I'm always with him, so there is nothing to think more than that. In other words, Arjuna was not interested in the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was more interested, oh, Krishna is with me all the time, he's a friend of mine, and he is helping me, anything what I need. But realization, self-realization didn't happen with that. For that, Krishna had to wait till this Mahabharata war, to give that message to him, and to wake him up to the reality. And same thing with Uddhava also. Throughout Bhagavatam you will find this, that when they get the transcendental knowledge and when they realize their relationship with Krishna, then they see Krishna from a different level altogether. Up to that, Arjuna has actually spoken about this. When Krishna left this planet, Arjuna came back from Dwaraka to Hastinapur and Yudhishthira Maharaj was waiting for him to come. And when he came back, Arjuna fell down at Yudhishthira's feet and started crying. Yudhishthira immediately understood what the problem was. Problem was that Krishna has gone. And that's why he was speaking like that. And Arjuna was saying in that, you can see in the first canto, Arjuna says there, when I lost all my strength to fight, when I had no understanding which way to go, he spoke Bhagavad Gita to me and gave me the strength to continue further. So from those words you can see that Arjuna relish that knowledge of Krishna, what Krishna delivered him from the illusion, from Maya, by speaking Bhagavad Gita to him and brought him to his identity of self, what he is. He taught him. Up to that time, Arjuna was also thinking, like many of us, that I am this body. He also thought like that. And he also acted in the same way. That is why he put forward, and Krishna has been with Arjuna for many years prior to that. For so many years, Arjuna was with Krishna. And not once he had the desire to know what I am, what he is. That question never came up from Arjuna. Only when Bhagavad Gita was spoken and when Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita and realized the self, when he realized the self, his tone changed, his relationship with Krishna changed along with that. This is an important point. That is why it is said, similarly, Maharaj Rishabhadev came here. Rishabhadev had 100 sons. And one day, while before leaving this planet, he called all of them together and spoke to them about spiritual life. This is the duty. Gururna sasyal, sajanona sasyal, pidana sasyal, jananina sasyal, devamna sasyal. He says there, you are not a father, you are not a mother, you are not a spiritual master, you are not... You are nothing, you are not even spiritual master if you do not deliver a person from the material existence. Devanna sasyal napadachas namo jayedya samupeda mrityum. If you are not able to get him out of this cycle of birth and death, you are not doing your duty. So whether it's a spiritual master, father, mother, or a relative, whoever it is, the first duty is this, to help somebody in the spiritual path. In the spiritual path, bring him to a spiritual realization or spiritual identity. As long as it's not done, you have not done anything to him. Everything else is on a bodily level, completely on a bodily platform. So when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, immediately Arjuna came back to his senses. Why? Because he came back to his identity, what he is. That realization came to him. Up to that time, he was thinking, I am this body, I am Arjuna, I am this, I am that, they are my teacher, they are my guru, they are my relatives, this, that and the other. All that misconception went away as soon as he got that realization from the Bhagavad Gita. So that is how it is. Everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, is always taking us to that point to understand the self. If that is not understood, everything else is a waste of time. So here, different incarnations were spoken with this understanding that Sanal Kumara Maharshi came. Krishna came as Sanal Kumara Maharshi and spoke the knowledge. You will see that discussion later on. In the 10th canto, you saw about the Shruti Gita. The Shruti Gita was nothing but a discussion between Narayana Maharshi and in Sanal Kumara Maharshi. And similarly, the discussions elsewhere, Rishabhadev's discussions, and also the Tatraya Maharshi is going to come later. He will talk about his spiritual realizations, what he realized. And hearing from those realized souls, you can see there also that once the realization comes to them, then automatically their understanding of this whole world changes. Whole world changes. We see this world in one way, they see in another way. In Bhagavatam, you will find so many examples, one after the other. One after the other, you will see these examples. What to talk about anyone else? Even Yudhishthira Maharaj, as soon as Arjuna came back and informed him about Krishna's departure from this world, did you see what changes happened to Yudhishthira at that time? Dukula Valayadiyam takes everything, all this clothes of the emperor of the world. He takes it out and throws it away. Why? Because Dugula Valayadigam, they have no value for anything. He has attained what he has to attain. That renunciation, to the topmost renunciation he got, and Yudhishthira's going back to the Himalayas to give up his body, you can read it in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how touching it is. That a personality who fought a whole war, millions of people were killed, and it took up the empire administration, performed the Rajasuyam sacrifice, pleased Krishna in every possible way, and Krishna appointed him as the king of this planet, and that Yudhishthira is walking out from this world, completely detached from here. This is the style of the Rajarshis. The great personalities are always like this. When they wanted to leave this world, they left with full detachment from here, because they all were conscious of the higher goal of spiritual realization. So you will see that with Yudhishthira Maharaj. You will see the same thing with Rishabhadev also. When the time had come, Rishabhadev handed over everything to the eldest son, Bharata, and walks into the forest with complete realization. They are all jnanis, they are all realized souls. And if you see their activities at that time, you will not recognize them even, who they were. That is the difficulty. Often people ask us this question, that can you show us someone who is self-realized? They ask this question. And if you show it to them, somebody who is self-realized, they will see he's a mad person. They will say like that. Actually, all self-realized souls are on that level. Because the mind has gone. There is no more mind giving them any problem. It is only in the conditioned state that the mind exists. And this mind keeps us in this half crazy condition. Because we are able to keep it inside, it's not coming out. Once it comes out, it becomes craziness, isn't it? All what we are thinking at the moment inside, if it all comes out, it becomes crazy. But because we are keeping it, somehow managed to keep it inside, and we have set up some formalities in this world so that we don't kill each other. It doesn't take very long to kill each other, is there? We are seeing that all the time in this world. How long does it take? Only one election is necessary. Or declare one independence. Immediately there is a fighting. And then kill each other. Isn't it? So this doesn't take very long time. That shows that how the mind inside is so powerful. How the mind is so powerful inside. And it can create that situation in a few seconds. It can change us and put us into that situation. That means in our so-called healthy condition, we are not really healthy. We are in an unstable state. Only thing is, somehow that balance is keeping us going. But here, you are noticing now, personalities like Yudhishthira Maharaj, when they decided to renounce this world and go, when that renunciation has hit them hard, they gave up the attachment, and that is the time you see all the great personalities. Maharaj Parikshit, Ambarish Maharaj, they were all like that. They were all the same. Rishabhadev, he was like that. Dattatreya Maharshi is like that. So, from this you can see, jnanis, or when they realize it, once they have realized the truth, then they don't take any of these things very seriously, what goes on in this world. We are very busy, we are very concerned about the welfare of this world, what will happen to this world if we go, who will maintain the family, who will maintain the society, what will happen to this country, that country. It is so funny to watch people, even on the deathbed, they are thinking about the country. What will happen to their country? What is this country? Country is somehow your prarabdham has brought you here and you are forced to accept a particular body in a particular situation. And when the time is over, the very same material nature who gave you this body takes it back from you. And you are left there. And this is our situation. But because we do not see anything, everything in relationship with the body and identity with the body, so we have a problem. This is what Bhagavatam is trying to get us out. If you remember, at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, when we are talking about the Canto 12, Parikshit Maharaj, when he wanted to leave this world, Sukadeva Goswami made sure that he has understood what he was meant to know. That means, in other words, Sukadeva Goswami made sure that Parikshit is realized before leaving this planet. And his realizations, he speaks very openly. Parikshit is saying very openly what he has realized. What did he realize? He realized that there is no thing called death. The death is only for the body. In other words, so long as we identify with the body, we have to be fearful about the death. And the truth is that it is only the body that dies and not the soul. And if our consciousness gets elevated to that situation where we will identify with the soul, this thing called death becomes a complete joke. If you think about this world, all the scientists are working for one purpose, isn't it? How to stop the death. Isn't it? That's their goal. All the great politicians are saying, we are spending so much billions into research we are pumping, so that somehow or the other we can escape from the death. So the death is a fact. And death is a very fearful thing. And so long as one is in identification with the body, he has to be frightened about death. There is no question on that. So the thing is this, the trick to get out of this birth, is this death, is the process of Srimad Bhagavatam. That makes it all worthwhile studying Srimad Bhagavatam. How to get out of this fear of death. And at the end of Bhagavatam, you will see, he says, he's realized, when Parikshit has realized, he's looking back and smiling at his ignorance. 7 days only 7 days ago, he came and sat there, complaining to Sukadeva Goswami, I have to leave my body. What shall I do? What should I hear? What should I think about? All this fear was in his mind. And after 7 days, only by the mercy of Sukadeva Goswami, he realized that he is not this body. As soon as he realized that fear also goes along with it. and he has come to the spiritual platform. So, important thing here is the self-realization. How to realize the self. And that's the goal of Bhagavad Gita. That's the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam. To get us there, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Hamsa swarupe vadachidam atma yogam datta kumara krishabho bhagavan pidanam vishnu shivaya jagadam kalayamadirnam stena hrida madhubida shudayo hayasyem. Then, when Madhu, a demon called Madhu, he stole the Vedas, and Krishna appeared as Hayagriva and killed him and brought the Vedas back into this world. Hamsa swarupe vadachidam atma yogam datta kumara krishabho bhagavan pidana vishnu shivaya jagadam kalayavadirnam stena akhrida madhurida shudayo hayasyem gupto opaye manirulaushadayascha valsye kraudhe hadodidya udhiradam sashpam kaurme vedodhi amrdovan mathane suprishte grahal pravennam bharajam amunchadartham. Then Satyavrata Muni story is there in the last chapter of the 9th canto. You can read there. What did Satyavrata Muni do? He was a great personality, King Satyavrata. Satyavrata, Krishna appeared to him in the form of fish incarnation, and instructed him in spiritual life. You can read that. They are very important, because in there he will talk about the role of the spiritual master. That is what Satyavrata was spoken by Krishna himself. Krishna spoke to him in the form of fish. He speaks and gives the transcendental knowledge to him. Transcendental knowledge is not something which you can study from a book easily. It doesn't come from the book. It comes from Krishna's mercy only. That's how it comes to a person. That Krishna's grace is behind it. But the books, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, will give us some understanding of how to go through that process. For example, we often misunderstand things, and that misunderstanding don't go away from our mind easily. Till sometimes, by Krishna's grace only, you open your eyes and start thinking about it, that you have misunderstood so many things in spiritual life. It is one of these facts is this, that when getting instructed from the spiritual master, what did I understand? What have I understood from that? In fact, in the Bhagavatam, in order to explain these things to us, Sri Narada Maharshi is initiating so many different personalities there. Have you noticed that? In the Narada Maharshi's disciples there are so many different kinds of disciples there. Narada Maharshi knows very well that if you receive instructions from a personality like Narada Maharshi, it is such an important thing to from whom the person who is instructing. Because it is his tapasya or his austerities and penances are behind that instructions. It is his sankalpam or his resolve that is what is transmitting that message to the disciple. So in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, Sri Narada Maharshi instructed him. Dhruva was 5 years old. And although he was instructed the transcendental message, and given this specific mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, was given to Dhruva Maharaj. Still, Dhruva Maharaj asked Krishna that whether he could rule the planet for a long period of time. This was the desire that came up to him at that point. In other words, even after seeing Krishna, his material desire still came back to him. Even after seeing Krishna. Often we think if I see Krishna, the problem is solved. Problem is not solved there. Till we realize the self, we can still fall back into our material consciousness and wander around in this world. That is possible. And Dhruva Maharaj's story is a typical example of that. Dhruva Maharaj had great realization when Krishna touched his cheek with the conch shell. This Vaikari thing woke up inside, and he started glorifying Krishna. That is that famous Dhruvastuti in the Bhagavatam. And Dhruva glorified Krishna so well, and then while leaving, Krishna was wondering whether Dhruva has still any desires inside. And Dhruva did. Dhruva had material desire. And then he asked Krishna, and Krishna blessed him for that 36,000 years, you should rule this planet. Krishna gives this blessing to him. And when did it occur to him later that he made a mistake? When he was going back, he started thinking, what a nonsense have I done. I have gone and asked Krishna, after seeing Krishna, The only thing I could ask Krishna was whether I could rule this planet for a long period of time. He wanted to take control of the, from King Uttanapada, he wanted to take over the administration. That was Dhruva's desire at that time. And Krishna fulfilled that desire also for Dhruva. Then somehow or the other, material desires have not gone away completely from inside. The result was that Dhruva had to stay back and Dhruva had to perform a lot of mistakes also later, particularly the one with the Yakshas, where he fought and killed them. And at that time, he admits that I made some mistake, that I had a devotee. You may think a devotee is non-violent. A devotee does not like to kill another living entity, because he realizes that Krishna is present within that living entity also. So therefore, he does not like to be violent towards anyone. That is the principle, understanding, proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. But that Dhruva even got victimized by his Rajogunam inside, and he decided to kill all the Yakshas. So at that point, Swayambhu Manu comes and instructs Dhruva Maharaj about the mistake what he was committing. That is one good thing about devotees. When devotees goes in the wrong direction, either Krishna will come or Krishna will send somebody to tell them where things are going wrong in life. So Swayambhu Manu came and instructed Dhruva Maharaj and brought him back to Krishna consciousness again. Now, leaving Dhruva there, if you look at Prahlada, just see the difference. Prahlada's mother, who is Kayadhu, Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadhu had no spiritual understanding of anything. Kayadhu had none whatsoever. And this Kayadhu was dragged by Indra when Hiranyakashipu went to perform the penances, and he was thinking of killing her, Kayadhu. Narada Maharshi comes there and says to Indra, don't kill Kayadhu, because Indra says, why? Because there is somebody inside in Kayadhu's womb. If he comes out, he'll be like his father. He'll be better than his dad. This was Indra's mind. Indra was thinking like that. He will destroy the whole creation, worse than Hiranyakashipu. Narada Maharshi says to Indra, don't worry about him. You don't know who he is. He is a devotee. And Narada Maharshi wanted to show to Indra and to the rest of the world that if you hear the message of Krishna from a great sage like him, like Narada Maharshi, what change it makes. What change it makes. I don't know whether you have thought about this, what Narada Maharshi told Prahlada while he was within the womb. There is about 8 or 10 verses in the Saptamaskandam. In the 7th canto, you can read that. When you have time, please take that. It's the 7th chapter also, where this comes. 7th canto, 7th chapter. There's about 10 or 15 verses. And if you read what Narada Maharshi told Prahlada at that time, you will be amazed. Is this someone who is talking to a baby who has not even come out of the womb? What does that mean? The intelligence is not developed, isn't it? Inside the womb, intelligence is not developed. Even he is not hearing directly from Narada Maharshi. He is inside, and the message is going through from Narada Maharshi to Prahlada while within the womb. Imagine the power of that instruction. This is spiritual instruction. This is spiritual instruction. Only you have to read those verses and the knowledge in those verses. It is explained in the 7th canto that Narada Maharshi gives that knowledge to Prahlada, that what is self means, what is the soul means. That's all he has explained to him. What does soul means and what's the soul's connection with Krishna is. That's all he has explained, nothing much. He told him about the body in 6 verses, 6 things what happens to the body. He spoke about them, and 12 things about the soul. 6 things about the body and 12 things about the soul. It's a long thing, so we'll not go through that now. But when you have time, please take that verse. The 6 things about the body, 12 things about the soul. What Sri Narada Maharshi has spoken to Prahlada. And this got stuck in Prahlada's inside. So even before coming out of the womb, the child had already realized the self. Imagine that. He was already realized. And because he was realized, Hiranyakashipu could not touch him. Hiranyakashipu could not touch him. So all that, what he did to Prahlada later on, had no impact. Why? He was realized. What can you do? when somebody is self-realized, he is not anymore identifying with the body, and whatever he does with the body, it is not of any concern to him. It doesn't have any impact on anything. We are thinking, we want to punish somebody, we give a good punch, isn't it? And we get satisfaction from that. Why? Because the man who is getting the punch and man is giving the punch, both are on the bodily identity. But when one person goes above that, then all, because it says in the Bhagavad Gita like that, isn't it? Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubayorabhi drishtvandustanayor tatu darshivi. All this theory, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if it is not happening to us, then what's the point in studying all these things? Isn't it? The purpose of all these things of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is to realize this knowledge, how one, a self-realized person, Krishna, you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, it is much more interesting. Arjuna is asking Krishna, Sthita Prajnasega Bhasha, how does a realized soul act? He is asking. A realized soul is standing right in front of him. He is not seeing that. Why? Ignorance. That's what ignorance means. That you will never be able to identify a realized soul in this world. They are always there, but you won't find them. If you put an advertisement in the paper and say, is there any realized souls? You won't get a reply for that. If you wander around looking, asking others, you are not going to find it. Because they are on a different plane altogether. And we are on another plane. From this plane to reach that plane is difficult. That's the difficulty. So here you will see that Prahlada was instructed about 12 things he spoke about the soul. And you will wonder, would you say these things to a baby who is in the womb of the mother? What his soul is? And the soul's nature? So many things. Narada Maharshi says to Prahlada, everything what he spoke, Prahlada says later, it has affected me. It has changed me. And he says to others also, his friends, Kaumara acharel prajnaha, dharmam bhagavadaniha, durlabham manusham janmam, tadapyadhrom arthadam, yada ahi purushasyeha vishno padobasarpanam. Krishna, Prahlada says to his friend, this is what I realized inside the womb. You can also realize it because I have realized it, so hear this from me, he says to them. He says to them, and that is why Prahlada was very particular about teaching his children, other friends who were with him in the school with which Hiranyakashipu's Gurukulam, whatever that was there, and he instructs them on the transcendental knowledge. So this knowledge of Krishna consciousness and the way it works is very difficult to explain how it works. It depends on the personality from whom it comes. And if the person who receives it is also mature, then that transfer takes place. Then the transfer takes place. Otherwise, it will remain as a mundane level. And it's very difficult. That often we find, we do everything in a ritualistic way for so long, and still we do not get any realizations from that. But Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us this important principle of how the transfer takes place between the spiritual master and the disciple. So, Guptopaye anurilaushadayascha malsye kraude hadodhi jamudharadamba sashmam kaurmedradodhi amurdovanmahane suprashte grahal prabhannam ibharaja amunjadartham. Then, Satyavrata Maharshi, and he protected him from the devastation in the form of fish. Then, he protected also the Mother Earth and all the sages. And then he appeared as the boar incarnation and killed Hiranyaksha, who was trying to destroy the earthly planet, and brought the earthly planet from the water and put it on its proper place. Then appeared as the tortoise, and when the Mandara mountains, when it went down while milk ocean was being churned, from bottom Krishna came as the tortoise and lifted the Mandara mountain and kept it in its proper place. Later on, when Indradyumna had to take the form of an elephant's body, and in the Trikuta Parvatam, in the Trikuta mountains, when he was engaged in the pastimes with the crocodile, because he managed to remember Krishna from his previous lifetime, Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste, that time Krishna appeared and killed the crocodile and protected him. So, like this, for whatever purpose one has to appear, whatever purpose was there, Krishna has appeared accordingly. That's all we have to know. Krishna appeared in different places, in different incarnations, for different reasons. That's the main thing we have to understand. Some of them are called Kalavadaram. Some of them called Amshavadaram. Some of them are called Purnavadaram. And some of them Kalavadaram, Gunavadaram. Like that, they are classified by the authorities on the Bhakti Shastram. They have classified all these different incarnations under certain classifications. Then there is also Shaktyaveshavadaram. That an incarnation who comes here and acts in such a way that there is able to present this science to so many people and inspire them in spiritual life. That is Shaktyaveshavadaram of Krishna. There are so many incarnations like that. Rishabhadev was like that. Although he came as a king, but he was Shaktyaveshavadaram also. Kalavadaram, Gunavadaram, Leelavadaram, like that. There are so many things. So, Drimala is talking about all that. Samstunyobdipadidan shramanan rishimscha shakramja vrutravathadastamasi pravishtam. Devastriyo asure grihe hidamana adha jagne asurendra mabhayaya sadam nrasimhem. Once it so happened, Kashyapa Maharshi wanted samit for the sandhyavandanam, and samit they need for their sacrifices. So, Bhalagilyas, there are 60,000 sages. They are called in one name given to them. They are called Valakhilyas. This Valakhilya size is only the size of the thumb. And when they were going to collect the samit, Indra saw them, and seeing their size, he felt very funny and he smiled, making a joke of them. Then at that time Valakhilyas felt very unhappy that Indra was making fun of them. He glorified Krishna, and Krishna protected them at that time also. Similarly, Indra got trouble with Vritrasura. We studied this in the sixth canto, that pastime with Vritrasura. They were demigods lost in the fight with the demons, and when they ran away, they took away all the women from the heavenly planets, and at that time Krishna appeared there and protected them. And also to protect Prahlada, he appeared as Narasimha Murthy, and he killed Hiranyakashipu. Verse 20. Devasure yudhija daityapadin surarthe hatvandareshu bhuvananyadathal kalabhi bhutvadhavamanam imam aharad baleshvam yanchachalena samadadadide sudebhyaham. That the between the demigods and the demons, when the fight happened in every Manu's time and different incarnations, Krishna takes, kill the demons and blesses the devotees accordingly, necessarily. And when Mahabali took control of all the three planetary systems and Indra lost the control of it, in order to bless Mahabali, because Mahabali, although Mahabali was born in the demoniac family, he was also a devotee. And there is no one else who can be compared with Mahabali as far as the last thing called surrender is concerned. Atmani Vedanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnosmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmani Vedanam. So Atmani Vedanam means complete surrendering to Krishna. In that, nobody can beat Mahabali. That's why Mahabali is considered to be the perfect example of surrendering to Krishna. That Atmani Vedanam, because of that, Krishna couldn't do anything with him. Because Mahabali surrendered everything, Krishna had to surrender to Mahabali. This is the difficulty. Krishna sometimes is put into some awkward situation like this. So what did Krishna say to Mahabali? Krishna says to Mahabali, you go to Sutalam and live there happily. And after this Indra moves away, you will be the next Indra, comes as the next Indra. There. Mahabali will become the next Indra. Because for Indra's position, Mahabali fought the war, isn't it? So Krishna understood that Mahabali still had the desire to become Indra. But at the same time, this particular Indra, who is called Purandara, he is already there and his term is not over. The time is not over. Before that, Mahabali wanted to take over. Krishna says, wait, your turn will come. When this Indra finishes his turn, you can take over from there. But because of the surrender of Mahabali was so beyond anyone's imagination, Krishna says to him, I have no choice except I will be standing outside your palace as the watchman to guard your palace. I'll be there all the time watching your palace. Krishna had to take that role. Just see how Krishna has, seeing the surrender of Mahabali, Krishna was moved by that. So Krishna accepted that role there also. Accepted that role to him. Then all these things are performed. If Krishna hasn't done all these things, how do we know about Krishna? Because of all these different pastimes Krishna has performed, we can hear about Krishna, understand Krishna's glories. That Krishna, when surrendered properly, he never forgets the devotee. This is what it is showing. That Mahabali did not chant 16 rounds a day even. He was not even chanting 16 rounds, you know. He was fighting. But when the right time came, he did the right thing. That is his greatness. We cannot do business with Krishna. That's the most important thing. We may think that I am chanting 16 rounds now. At the end of the time, leaving this body, I have to say to Krishna, look, I've chanted 16 rounds now. Now, where is my liberation? I was told. You can't put that to Krishna. That won't work. That will never happen. But at the same time, sadhana is not to be given up. This process of chanting is necessary to bring this mind under control and to develop that Krishna consciousness inside. When Krishna sees that surrender inside, that is when that grace or mercy comes from Krishna. Mercy comes from Krishna. So surrender is the most important thing. Like Bhagavad Gita said, that mamekam sharanam raja, that sharanagati, surrender to Krishna is far more important than anything else. And at that point, Mahabali succeeded in doing that, even after rejecting his own spiritual master, Shukra Maharshi, Shukracharya. He managed to do that, and that put Mahabali on the map among the greatest devotees. Mahabali got into that list of the devotees. So one never know when we will get that mercy from Krishna. One can never say how that mercy will come, through whom or how it will come to a person. A devotee's responsibility is to serve Krishna. And with keeping this desire inside, that somehow or the other one wants to please Krishna. And with that way, when one executes his life, that is spiritual life. That is the purpose of everything. All these instructions in the Bhagavadam is slowly taking us to that point. Nikshatriyamagradagamja trisaptakrittho ramastuhaihai kulape bhargavagni sobdhim bhabanda deshavatramahan salangam sidabadir jayadi logam alagdhagirthim. Then Nikshatriyamagradagamja trisaptakrittho ramastuhaihai kulape bhargavagni. Parashuram incarnation. When Krishna appeared as Parashuram, and when he found that the Kshatriya kings of this world were acting in the wrong way, decided to completely wipe them off from here. And 21 times he travelled on this earth and killed the Kshatriyas. Afterwards, he appeared. Sobdhim bhavanda deshavatramahan salangam sidabadir jayadi logamalagnagirthim. Then, in order to wipe out Ravana, Dashavatram, Ahan Salangam Sida Badar Jayadi Logamalagnagirtim. In order to free the planet from the atrocities of Ravana, and in order to establish the, protect the devotees, he constructed this bridge between, from Rameshwaram to Sri Lanka, Dhanushkodi to Sri Lanka, and built the link and took the army there and fought the battle with him, with Ravana. And Sida Abhadar Jaydi Logamalag Nagirtim. In this verse, you can see the word used is Jaydi. Sida Abhadar Jaydi. In other words, probably this conversation has happened between King Nimi and this nine sages also, probably during the similar times. Sida Abhadar Jaydi Logamalag Nagirtim. And glorifying Lord Ramachandra here through these words. Actually, we misunderstand sometimes. Ramachandra has done everything. Actually, according to Ramayanam, Sita Devi says to Hanuman at one point that people wrongly think that Ramachandra has done everything. Actually, Ramachandra didn't do anything. I have done everything. This is the proper way to understand that. Because Sita Devi is the controller of the Yogamaya, she is also. And she is in control. Krishna doesn't have to do anything. Ramachandra doesn't have to do anything. In Ramachandra's presence, Yogamaya performs everything. Sita Devi performs everything. Similarly, we also know in this world, in Krishna's presence, Radharani does everything. Krishna's presence, Radharani does everything. These are potencies of Krishna. Different potencies of Krishna to get the jobs done. And that's their responsibility. But Sita Devi, in one sense, one point, says to Hanumanji, Anjaneya Swami, says that people think foolishly that Ramchandra doesn't do anything. I do everything, she says. I do everything. It's the same thing. Every time, whether it is in Ramachandra's case or Krishna's case also, Srimati Radharani does everything. She maintains everything. And ultimately, she gives us the opportunity to realize Krishna also. It is Radharani's mercy. That is what that is. So, Bhumir Bharavadaranaya Dushvajanma Jadakarishadi Surairabhi Dushkarani Vadir Vimohayadi Yajnikrato Tadarhan Shudran Kalau Chitibujo Nihanishyadandem. Then, this is an important verse. All these appearances Krishna has made is based on not out of the karma. Karma was not the cause of that. Krishna has come on his own desire. At his own will, he could appear in any form, whichever he wants. He could appear in any form he wants, because he has no karma. Karma doesn't touch him. But still, in order to perform these pastimes, he appears in different families and executed so many pastimes, like killing the demons and lifting the Govardhan hill and things like that. And it says here, Vadair vimohayadi yajna krito ata darhan. He will appear according to the need of the time, according to the particular need, what that particular time demands. In other words, here in the Bhagavadam, there is the story of Lord Buddha appearing. How many years ago? 2500 years ago. Lord Buddha appeared. At that time, there was a purpose for Buddha to appear. What was the purpose? Because people were completely left the Vedic path and they've taken to this Karma Mimamsa philosophy so deeply, and killing animals had become the whole spiritual life. Killing animals and sacrificing them and offering them. This has become the spiritual life of those days. This has happened 2500 years ago. At that time, Lord Buddha appeared and pulled them out of that. You can see that. If you look into the history closely, you will notice these differences. What did Lord Buddha do? Lord Buddha spoke to them about the futility of the Vedic sacrifices and completely took them out from the Karma Mimamsa side. Karma Mimamsa side, he brought them out and brought them into the Buddha philosophy. But later on, what happened was, Buddha also had made mistake in the sense that Krishna had to send somebody else to do next step. That Buddha talked about this thing, that Karma Mimamsa is completely faulty, Vedas are faulty, everything has to be rejected, everything should take to sannyasam and renunciation. So what was happening? The whole country was full of sannyasis. The whole country became full of sannyasis. Can you imagine that? It is only after that Bharatavarsham had to experience the attack from outside. It is because what happened? All the Kshatriyas became sannyasis, Brahmanas became sannyasis, the whole country is full of sannyasis. All of them walking around with a begging bowl. You see? So, with the result of that was that Buddhism created this havoc later on. But it was done deliberately. Krishna has done that because the people who were addicted to this Karma Mimamsa and killing the animals, you could not get it out from them without preaching non-violence to them. So in order to preach non-violence, he has to take this role of Buddha and he had to go through this process of bringing them back from their ignorant situation. So that is what he did. And the result was that Buddha incarnation, we know in the history, that after that, the Kshatriyas were all gone away. Kshatriyas lost their potency to fight. And the result was that the country and the many kingdoms were subjected to invasion from outside. So anyway, this process is always going on. But here, it says here, Vader vimohayadi yajna kratot adadarhan, adadarhan. Vader vimohayati. He argued with them and convinced them that their yajnam or sacrifice is all false. In other words, Krishna is yajna himself. Krishna is yajna himself. And rasovai saha. Krishna is actually, all the Vedic sacrifices are meant, directed towards Krishna. And that Krishna is saying, these yajnas are all wrong. They are all useless. And that's how he brought them out. Because when things gets deteriorated, Krishna has to come and change the thinking of the people in masses. So that's what Krishna has done. Vader vimohayadi, argued with them and convinced them that yajna tadai, yajna kritod adadarhan, yajnam is faulty. They explained to him and brought them to Buddhism. Shudran kalau chidi bujau nihani shadandem. And in the end of Kali Yugam, what does he says here? Drumala says, in the end of Kali Yugam, when everyone will become a Shudra. Everyone will become a Shudra. Shudra means what? Completely in the bodily identity. Short, completely in the bodily identity. And all the kings will become like Shudras. And all the authorities, at that time he will take the form of Kali and kill everyone at that time. And bring back Kratayugam again. Satyugam will come back. Evam vidhani karmani janmani ja jagalpade bhurini bhuri yashaso varnidani maha bhujam. That there is no limit to the glories of Krishna. Karmani and janmani. Krishna's appearances and Krishna's activities that I have explained to you now. Normally, people, it says here, bhurini bhuri yashaso varnidani maha bhujam. Those who have no appreciation of Krishna's glories will not have any interest to listen about these things. It says here that it is impossible to talk about all appearances of Krishna. That whichever form of Krishna is attractive to you, he says to King Nemi, whichever form of Krishna is attractive to you, you should worship that form and accordingly take his shelter. I have explained in detail, King Nimi says, and concludes that chapter. Iti Srimad Bhagavate Mahapurane, Ekadasha Skande, Avatara Varnanam Nama, Chaturthodhyaya Samaptaha. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, Chapter 5. Sri Rajo Vaja, Bhagavandam Harim Prayo, Nabhajandi Alpa Vittama, Tesham Ashanda Kamanam, Ka Nishta Avijidalpanam. So, now, we have got two more great sages to talk about. Chamasa and Karabhajana Maharshi. Chamasa Maharshi and Karabhajana Maharshi. Their questions, the questions which Nimi has posed to them was, Nimi was asking, Chamasa Maharshi, you have spoken so many things about devotees, about self-realization, about Krishna consciousness, Bhagavata Dharmam, everything I heard from all of you now. I have one important question to ask you. What's that question? What will happen to non-devotees who did not take to any of these processes? What will happen to them? Very important question, isn't it? Because sometimes we think that Krishna consciousness is only for a few people. No, Krishna consciousness is for the whole world, for everyone to take it. But because of our false ego and because of our pride, we still think that we have a separate existence from Krishna. And we also think that as long as things are going well in this world, why worry about Krishna? This is also there in everyone's mind. And then for a long time we fight in this world to get things sorted this way, that way. We take to and fulfill our material desires also in that process of profits, adoration, distinction and followers. And so many material desires inside. So we don't want to have any consultation with Krishna or in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So naturally, majority in this world will be non-devotees. They will turn out to be non-devotees. they will not have any interest in the proper spiritual life. Even if they take the spiritual life, it will be purely for the sake of fulfilling some material needs or material desires. So that's the difficulty with that. So here the question asked is, what will happen to those who have not taken to spiritual life? In other words, not taken to spiritual life. These are two different things. Taking the spiritual life and realizing the self is one thing. But taking the spiritual life and fulfilling all the material needs, that's another thing. That a lot of people are doing it already anyway. In all religions you find this, isn't it? In all different processes you will see this happening. Some kind of austerities are there. Some kind of penances are there. Some understanding of God is there. Some understanding. And the ultimate goal in life is not to realize the self, but rather to live in this body comfortably till we leave the body. And then after that, because we have not gone and seen what's happening after that, whatever the Shastra tells us, we just accept it. Either we go to the heaven or we go to the other destinations, whatever in different religions, whatever they have spoken about. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Chamasa Maharshi is answering this question from King Nimi, he talks in a completely different way. He is saying that this opportunity has been given to the human society by Krishna's arrangement. And this human body is particularly valuable, and the only thing you can get out of this human birth is self-realization, nothing else. Everything, Chamasa Maharshi's words are very clear. He says that this very human form of life is meant for realizing the self. And if you have not done it, it is a lost business, he says. You have lost it. Nothing will gain come out of it. This is the main point. This is an important point. It is two different things. That's why it's important to understand what the sage is talking about, Chamasa Maharshi. Raja Vacha, king is asking the question. Bhagavandam harim prayo nabhajandi atma vittamaha tesham ashanda kamanam ka nishta abhijidalmanam. Then, in the fifth chapter, then one who is completely attached to the sense enjoyment and without caring for Krishna, what will happen to that person and the process of worship? In the fourth chapter, we talked about how to cross over Maya and also explained what do we get after crossing over Maya. One who has no devotion, he serves Krishna for material benefits. But still, although they don't get complete happiness, still many times distress follows them. So the king is asking this question, that these two personalities, if you ask Chamasa Maharshi and Karabhajana Maharshi how to make more money in this world, how funny it will look. Having got an opportunity to see Chamasa Maharshi and Karabhajana Maharshi, and if you ask them such questions, how to win the lottery, or how to become a prime minister or president, or how to enjoy the senses. These are not the questions to be put forward to sages like Chamasa and Karabhajana. Knowing very well, the king asked these important questions to him. What happens to those who does not serve Krishna, who does not serve Hari? In order that devotion to develop, there are few things, prerequisite. That is, first thing, the desire for sense gratification has to go from the mind. And accordingly, his activities also has to change. Only in that state of mind, this desire for liberation will come to a person. Normally, most of the people are attracted by the glamour of this world, isn't it? In other words, sense gratification, sense enjoyment, and also the desire to acquire material wealth and is very strong in everyone. And our activities in this world also is based on that. Is it not? So because it is like that, it is very difficult to get that desire for liberation from material existence. That will not come very easily. Unless these two things happen, detachment from material existence or renunciation from this world, and on the other hand, the activities, our activities also has to change in the similar way. Because if the desire is, everything is based on vasanas, we have seen that before. Vasanas is that what we, impressions what we have brought with us from previous life. That vasanas takes control of the mind in the sushma shariram or in the subtle body. And when the vasanas are ready for to sprout, the sushma shariram or the mind will engage the body in particular activity so that that particular desire is fulfilled. That particular desire is fulfilled. So this is what material life means. That we bring with us so many desires from previous lifetimes, and those desires has come from our karma. We didn't control our karma, therefore vasanas have developed. Vasanas have caused, come and started disturbing us. So in other words, with the same vasanas, the subtle body or the mind pushes us to engage in activities because they have to be fulfilled somehow. And when the activity starts again, that activity will create further vasanas and we will continue. It is a cycle from which we cannot escape easily. This is the reason why karma has been given the most important point in discussion in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That how karma can keep you rolling in this big giant wheel, keep on going up and down all the time, never able to come out of it. So, strictly speaking, how to get out of the cycle of karma or cycle of birth and death, in other words, is the whole principle. That's what is explained here through the process of knowledge and bhakti, devotion and knowledge. So devotion is the process where one can free oneself from this cycle of karma, karmic cycle, in other words, it's called. So that is where it is said here that Chamasa Maharshi is answering this question, that unless senses are brought under control and the activities are minimized, this karma vasana inside will create more vasanas. And karma itself cannot get you liberated from here. What we are actually trying to do is that how to get out of the karma what we have created by using the same karma technique, and that is karma yoga. So karma yoga is the process by which you get rid of all the karma what we have created ourselves and which is staying in our subtle body in the form of vasanas. So this karma vasana, in other words, will not go unless the karma is purified. And when the karma is pure and it is purified, then is the stage where what is called as chitta shuddhi happens. Chitta shuddhi means the purity of the mind to receive to the transcendent message or the transcendental knowledge or the transcendental science. That is why, because of so much karma vasanas inside, even after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, we are suspecting Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam still. Is it all correct or is it all true? How does it work? Bhagavad Gita particularly is a very, very subtle science. Some personalities who have studied Bhagavad Gita and wrote commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, they have even said that even after studying Bhagavad Gita whole lifetime, they have not understood the mystery of Bhagavad Gita. They call it the mystery of Bhagavad Gita. So many great personalities have recognized this. And that is so subtle. The science in Bhagavad Gita is so subtle that when we, a little bit, if you taste that subtlety of Bhagavad Gita, you can appreciate the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, it is impossible to know. Otherwise, you will just read the translation purport and think that this is it, Bhagavad Gita. We understood everything. And now there is nothing more to be known in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is this transcendental science, the knowledge beyond this creation. Knowledge beyond this creation. Any living entity who has got a material body, if he wants to free himself from this continuous acceptance and rejection of material body, he wants to free himself from this cycle, he has to take the shelter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is that transcendental science. So here you can see that systematic knowledge of the way the living entity accepts a material body, suffers happiness and distress in that material body, creates more vasanas, generate another material body, and continuously move from one body to another, one planet to another, one species to another, constantly changing this cycle, is what is called material existence or samsaram. Samsaram means this. So, in order to free oneself, how to free oneself from this samsaram process, that is where Krishna consciousness comes. Such a transcendental science it is. So Shamsa Maharshi was questioned about this, and Shamsa Maharshi is saying to them, this is the greatest responsibility of the human society in the life. There is no other responsibility as far as the sages are concerned. Sages are not telling you declare your independence for this state and that state and nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam you will find a relief operation. Have you seen anywhere that any of the kings arranging relief operations, moving food and clothes and milk products and shelter and all Africa is suffering, America is suffering, India is suffering, Bangladesh is suffering. Have you seen anything discussed in the Bhagavad Gita? No, that is not spiritual knowledge. That is all on a material platform. In spiritual knowledge, there is only one. Because the solution to all the problems lies in one thing, not realizing the self. That's where the problems have started. And because it is so subtle, and the sages know the subtlety of this science, they stressed on this one point and one point alone, nothing else. They said throughout Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, all these philanthropic activities, opening schools, hospitals, they are all on a bodily level. They are not going to get you out from the spiritual, from this material cycle, cycle of birth and death. What will get us out from the cycle of birth and death is this process, what Krishna has given to us in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why it is so important to hold on to this literature, these two literature, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. It is from there all the transcendental knowledge has come to this world. Why is Krishna still glorified by the great acharyas and authorities? Because of the potency of Bhagavad Gita. How beautifully Krishna presented the knowledge from the Upanishads in the form of Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna's explanations to each of those verses, if you see from the commentaries from the great acharyas, how powerful they were to understand the subtlety of this human existence in this world. Everything explained very well in such a way that people can take advantage of that. Chamasa Maharshi says, Krishna has given, come here, performed in different incarnations, performed all the pastimes, given, instructed so many great personalities in transcendental knowledge. He has done all these things. All for what? For the benefit of the conditioned souls here. Shamsa Maharshi says there, having done all these things, if a human being, having got a human body, if he does not take it seriously and go back to Krishna, is there anything more ungrateful than that towards Krishna? This is the question he is asking. Is there anything more ungrateful than that? Having given us a human body, having given us an opportunity of this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and having also given all other facilities through devotees, temples, prasadam, and so many other things, even after giving all these things, people want to forget Krishna and engage in sinful life. That is what causes the problem. That is what Shamsa Maharshi is going to talk about. Shamsa Vacha, verse 2. Mukhabahu Uruveda Ubhadebhya Purushasya Ashramai Narasaha Chatvaro Jajire Varna Gunai Vipradaya Prathak. That Mukhabahu Uruvadebhya Purushasya Ashramai Saha Chatvaro Jajire Varna Gunai Vipradaya Prathak. Then from Krishna's face, Brahmanas came. Varnashrama Dharma, now they are going to talk about Varnashrama Dharma. Varnashrama Dharma is such, Brahmanas came from the face, Kshatriyas came from the hands, Vaishyas came from the belly, Shudras came from the legs. Now when we say that, you may have to understand the principle behind it. In other words, what it means is that the qualities of Brahmana, in other words, not that all the Brahmanas were taking birth from Krishna's hands, it was not like that. The qualities of Brahmana, who are predominated with Sattvagunam, they came from Krishna's head. They came from Krishna's head. Similarly, the qualities of Kshatriya, which are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, their specific qualities, those qualities have come from Krishna's hands. And similarly, the qualities meant for a Vaishya came from Krishna's belly. And the qualities of Shudra came from the legs. So therefore, similarly, the four ashramas also, From the heart came Brahmachari, Krishna's Brahmacharyam, in other words, celibacy. Brahmacharyam came from Krishna's heart. And from the from the chest came the Vanaprastham. And from the head came Sannyasam. And from Krishna's Jaghanam, Jaghanam means this part, the hips, came the householder life. So hips came the householder life, the head came Sannyasam, from the chest came Vanaprastham, and from the heart came Brahmachari Ashram. Therefore, in other words, all this Varnashrama Dharmam also has come from Krishna. Why did Krishna give this Varnashrama Dharmam? So that Dharmam Varnashramanam Shudipada Vihidam Tolparatvena Bhaktya Kurvando Andar Viragai. If you execute Varnashrama Dharmam properly, it will develop devotion in a person. If it exists. Develop devotion in a person. Because Varnashrama Dharmam helps to develop devotion in a person. So this Varnashrama Dharmam has got that specific quality. That is why Varnashrama Dharmam was created. Not for any other reason. Not that, oh, I need some people to run the country. So I need some Kshatriyas. No. In order, purpose of Varnashrama Dharmam was that Kurvande andar viragehi. Then if one executes Varnashrama Dharmam in any role, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, whichever role he executes that, eventually it will lead into renunciation and detachment and devotion to Krishna. Dharmam Varnashramanam Shudipata Vihidam. It is mentioned in the Shruti like that. And that's why when Varnashrama Dharmam existed, we had very exemplary devotees also in this world. Great, great personalities. When Varnashrama Dharmam existed in this world. When there is no Varnashrama Dharmam, we can see the state, the caliber of the devotees in this world also. What situation we are in today. So, this issue of Varnashrama Dharmam is proving to us that if Varnashrama Dharmam exists in this world, it can create better devotees, first-class devotees, because the way it is structured. That structure is necessary. Varnashrama Dharmam is necessary. But because Varnashrama Dharmam has gone away from here, that does not mean Krishna is not saying that you have to give up spiritual life because of that. Krishna never said like that. Varnashrama Dharmam was the tool to help us. But just because the tool doesn't exist, that doesn't mean I can't do the work, we can't do the work. Because you will see that in the Bhagavad Gita. Particularly if you read Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, Chaturvarnam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagasha. That according to the quality and the work, I have created these divisions in the society. I have created these divisions in the society. Tasya kartaram abhima vidya kartaram avyayam. That this is how the system is being set up. But when you read that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you should also read the verse before that and the verse after that. Don't pull out that one verse alone and start saying that, Varnashrama Dharmam Krishna has created, somehow Varnashrama Dharmam has gone now. Now what can be done? That's not the answer, because the two verses before and after will answer that question. Krishna explains there very clearly that this Varnashrama Dharmam is an aid, a tool to help people. But a person who wants to advance in the spiritual life, if he has the genuine, somehow or the other, if he develops that desire to liberate himself from this material existence, nothing can stop him from doing that. Nothing can stop him from doing that. Because Krishna says there that the if he changes his karmam. While talks about karmam, karma yogam, he says this also. That whatever Krishna has to say in Bhagavad Gita, actually he has finished in third chapter itself. If you study the second and third chapter very well, the rest of Bhagavad Gita is nothing but an elaboration of these two chapters. Second and the third chapter. In the second chapter, Krishna spoke about the knowledge. And in the third chapter, Krishna talks about the action. The knowledge and the action. Because these are the two things we have got when you come to this world, isn't it? A living entity, when he accepts a body, he grows up, he develops knowledge, and then he starts acting based on the knowledge what he has developed. Devotion is a higher thing. That comes much later. After he has perfected the knowledge and action, That is when devotion comes. That is a superior state of existence. In order to get to that state of existence, one has to purify his knowledge, purify his action also. So the knowledge, what is required for that, was spoken in the second chapter. Contents of Bhagavad Gita summarized. That is why it's called like that, Sankhya Yogam. And in the third chapter, Krishna said, after you have understood this knowledge, how to act in this world. That's Karma Yogam. So if these two chapters, Krishna actually could have finished Bhagavad Gita. But in order that Anjana started asking questions from there further, Krishna started making an elaborate, expanding things further and further, and that is how the remaining 15 chapters came about. The other 15 chapters is nothing but an explanation of the second and third chapter in depth, much more in depth. The same thing you will see in the Bhagavatam also. When all great personalities, when they want to propound something, they will finish it up. They will first start, in summary they will say something, and they will see the person who is listening, and if it needs to be explained in detail, they will expand it in a big way. So in the Bhagavatam also, when you see that, while Krishna talking to Uddhava, all what philosophically to be understood, and what has to be realized, has been spoken already in the verse, in the chapters 9 and 10. Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, you will see, in chapter 9 and 10, Krishna has already given everything what Uddhava has to know. But when Uddhava started coming back with questions, Krishna had to expand everything, these two chapters further. And that is why the remaining 22 chapters or so is nothing but an explanation of the chapter 9 and 10. In a much more elaborative scale. At least Uddhava has understood after 23 chapters. What about us? I don't know how many millions of chapters we will need before it gets into our head. That is the transcendental knowledge. The transcendental knowledge is like that. We should not minimize the value of this, value of Srimad Bhagavatam. We shouldn't minimize the value of Bhagavad Gita. As I mentioned before, that in our spiritual life, sometimes, of course, it's necessary in the beginning, we get attracted to someone in spiritual life, and we get attracted to that person so much, we forget the message, what Krishna has, wants us to know, and what that personality also wants us to know. Krishna has sent him, or Krishna has come in that form, only to get this through to us, only to get this message to us. So, Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and Arjuna was fortunate enough that he got Krishna as a spiritual master. Similarly, Uddhava also was fortunate enough that Krishna was his spiritual master. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj also was fortunate enough to hear from Sudeva Goswami, with whose instructions he got himself realized the absolute truth. So here Chamasamashi is saying that Mukabahuru Vadebhya Purushasya Ashramai Saha Chatvaro Jetnire Varna Gunai Vipraya Vipradaya Pratak. That all Varnam and Ashramam comes from the origin is Krishna. Ya esham purusham sakshal atma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajandi avajanandi sthanal brashta padandhyathah. Then na esham purusham sakshal atma prabhavam ishwaram. Those who do not realize the self, that's atma prabhavam ishwaram, one who does not endeavor in that direction. One who does not endeavor in direction means one who does not serve Krishna. One who does not serve Krishna. One who does not do that and don't care for that and falls down from his role in the Varnashrama Dharmam also. The only option they have, the choice they have got, is to go to the hellish situation, hellish life. That's the only option they have got. Na bhajandi avajanandi sthanal brashta patandhyadam. That na bhajandi avajanandi, that he is not respecting Krishna. That's what basically it is. You may think, is it a threat or something? it's not a threat because Krishna doesn't need to threaten us anything. Because often in religion, people take this attitude, oh, why is he saying like this? That means if I don't do it, you'll go to hell. It's not like that. The reason here it's spoken like this is, in order to make us aware that in this creation, Krishna has provided certain facilities to us, isn't it? To eat, the food is provided, the clothing is provided, the shelter is provided, and for a peaceful existence in this world, so many other things are also provided by Krishna's arrangement. Who is providing all this except Krishna? Who else is providing? We can say, oh, it was there when I came here. You can say like that. But that is a false understanding. A living entity gets its food at the right time, somehow or the other. That arrangement is there in Krishna's administration. An arrangement for a living entity to get its food. You can observe that also, that all the other living entities, they don't have such arrangements like the human society has got for the food, isn't it? Look at, out of the 8.4 million species, we say human society is about 400,000. So balance 8 million is getting its food on time, every time. You can never see a bird or anything dying out of starvation. It's always going out in the morning and finds its food in the creation somewhere. Similarly, all its other necessities also, like its sex life, its mating problems, are also met with by the superior arrangement. Its arrangement for sleeping is also provided for them. And the defending philosophy is also there in all of them. So, as far as bodily needs are concerned, Krishna's arrangement is so perfect that 8 million species are getting it without any problem. But this 400,000 species are not getting it. 400,000 species is busy making this arrangement throughout life. Isn't it? This 400,000 is only doing one thing. What is it? 400,000 is busy morning to night economic development. That is the problem with this 400,000. The 8 million has no economic development problems. But this 400,000 has got economic development problems. So, because it is like that, and 400,000 has got higher things to do in life. If 400,000 is doing things worse than this 800,000, what should we call that society? At least the 800,000 is not hoarding the food, is not doing things which are unnecessary to engage, enjoy in this world. The 8 million is out, total is 8.4 million. So out of this 8 million are all the other species. They are busy with their daily maintenance of the body. That's all. They're not doing anything more than that. But this human species, which is 400,000, is devising morning to night plans how to enjoy these senses. That is the unfortunate situation. So when one falls into that state of existence and not serve Krishna for which he has been given this human body, he is answerable to that. That's what it says. Esham purusham sakshal atma prabham ishwaram e padantha avajanandi sthanal brashta padandhyathaham. Then there's only one option left. They've been given the opportunity to do what they're supposed to do. If they don't do it, and on the other hand, they engage themselves in sense gratification, then they have to accept some punishment. Punishment in the sense that because their vasanas, they are building up in that direction. In that direction means to enjoy the senses. They should be provided that facility in a species where it is possible to enjoy it better. Prabhupada used to give these examples. He said, those who wants to eat anything and everything and enjoy sex life unlimitedly, he says for them, a better body is a hog's body, not a human body. Because a human body, you cannot get that happiness like the hog gets. That's what Prabhupada's point is. Yavsho vidvara hostra garei is samstuda purusha pashu nayal karna katho vedam jadu nama gadagraja. That Bhagavatam statement it is. Only thing is Prabhupada spoke in a much more stronger voice. That Bhagavatam is also saying exactly the same thing. Ishovidvara hoshtragarei samstuda purusha pashu nayal karna katho vedam jadunama gadagraja. That one who does not want to chant the glorious names of Krishna, who has given us this body and who expects us to use it for the right purpose, and for that, for such personalities, they have to accept that body which suits, because Krishna is so kind to everyone. According to your desire, He gives you the body. Suppose one wants to enjoy sex life, or one wants to enjoy the eating without any discrimination. For them, that particular body is more suitable. It is human body is not the best for that. Because human body means you've got this mind, intelligence and so many other things which will cause problems. And what problems? First they will engage in illicit sex life, and then there will be AIDS, and there will be research, and they will collect millions, and they will donate it for the charity, and the charity work will go on, so many hospitals will be built, and then there will be research into that which can go on for... Krishna is saying here that, look, you don't have to do all these things. If that is what you want, I have another apartment available for you, a better, suitable for that kind of business. This apartment given to us is suitable for this purpose. What is that? Self-realization. It's not suitable for any other purpose. It's only suitable for that purpose. And if you don't use that, rather use this apartment for engaging in other activities, then why don't you move into the other apartment, which is better than this? This is Krishna's point. So, that is hell. That is what is called Naragam. When we say Naragam, this is what it means. That we are only thinking, oh, after I leave this body, when you read the fifth canto, there is a whole hellish planets discussed there, isn't it? So, then we are thinking that what will happen to us? Maybe I have done all this nonsense in my life. When I, at least till I go there, let me enjoy here. And it's a punishment. What can I do about it? They will put the roller on me, or fry me in the oil, or I have to embrace one. You know all that, what is in the fifth canto. The pictures are also there, so you can see that and think like that. No, that is only a part of the punishment. Because if the vasanas inside are like this, the best punishment is to give a body suitable for fulfilling that desires. Fulfilling that desires. Just like sex life, Prabhupada says that the monkey's body is ideal for that. He said, get into that body and do it, enjoy it as long as you want, and then come back from that, whenever that time is right, when you're satisfied. But similarly, every body, so for the meat eaters, for those who wants to eat meat and who cannot live without meat, for them, the best solution is to take birth as a nice tiger and eat as much as it wants, and in the lion's body or a tiger's body or any other body like that. So similarly, in every body you will see that it has its own speciality, which is Krishna's one of the vibhutis in that body, is given to that. Those who want to fly around all the time, for them a bird's body is suitable. Why worry about flying? You have to manufacture an aeroplane and then make sure that the aviation fuel is there, the pilot has to be there, all the problems solved once you get a bird's body. Fly from one continent to another, and according to the weather you can change, live in the sky, in the top of the tree, everything comfortable, if that is what one wants. So according to desire, Krishna arranges the body also. Krishna is very kind to us. You can see how kind He is to us. I have this desire, Krishna says, you can have that desire, no problem. This is my particular apartment for you, for that. He gives you that apartment. So here what will happen is that human body's purpose is self-realization. No other business. That is the main business of human body. And if that is not taken seriously, all other things are done, then Chamasa Maharshi is saying here, Ya esham purusham sakshal alma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajanti avajanandi sthanal brashta patanthyadaha. What will happen to him? Sthanal brashta. He will fall. He will fall from this human species to a lower species. To some lower species. Prabhupada said, if you want to wander around in naked clothes, thinking that exhibiting your bodily beauty is the most important thing, He says there is a species, the trees, standing there without any clothes. Thousands of years you can stand there like that and show it to the world. Look, I am naked. Come and look at my beauty. So like this, so many things. Dure harikada kejil, dure ja achyuta kirtana, striya shudradaya ischeiva, tenu kambhya bhava drasham. Now, dure harikada kejil, dure ja achyuta kirtana. When somebody is talking about Krishna, you're passing through there and saying, why waste time like this, sitting and listening about Krishna? Dure harikada, harikada kejil. That's going on. Let it go on its own. And I don't want to hear anything about it. What else? Dure achyuta kirtana. Somebody is singing Krishna's glories about Krishna. I don't want to hear anything. Why waste time? Rather, I'll sit there in front of Radharani's bakery and eat some pizzas and go back home. My spiritual life is completed with that. So if I take that position, it says here, dure harigada kejil, dure ja achyuta kirtana. Sriya Shudraraya is Chaiva Tenukambya Bhava Drasham. That even those who are, everyone may not have that spiritual urge for spiritual realization. The urge for spiritual realization may not come. And often this can happen to those people who are not very fortunate to do that. Among the human species, among the men and women, women generally suffer more in this world than the men. That is, especially among the women who are mother, who have got children, they suffer more. So, due to their prarabdham, due to their unfortunate situation, they do not have the freedom to associate with saintly people, or to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, or to get an opportunity to cultivate spiritual life, due to their unfortunate in the sense, due to their attachment to family, attachment to children, attachment to their particular situation in life. That's why women are mentioned here. And same thing with Shudras also. Shudras are also unfortunate because due to their attachment to the body, they find it very difficult to come out of that bodily attachment. That's what they are called Shudras. Shudra means one who is closely attached to the body. So, because of these two reasons, they are very unfortunate. Because of these reasons, they are very unfortunate. So, those such people, Chamasa Maharshi says here, that those who are able to talk about Krishna to them, they should show some special consideration to them. To those who are caught up in life like this, in a woman's body, with excessive attachment to family life, and excessive attachment to children, and in different ways to relatives and friends and family. Generally, women's relationship is a very deeper attachment level. On attachment level, is much more deeper. For the men, it is a little different story. For women, there are, before the marriage, attachment to one's own family, parents and the family. After the marriage, with the husband's family. So, in two places, the attachment is strong. And Kunti Devi mentioned this also, that please cut this attachment to Krishna. So, because of the attachment, the opportunity to associate with Krishna and devotees is less for them. And the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is also less for them. And therefore, those great souls, Krishna, Chamasa Maharshi says, they should show more compassion to them and also influence them or help them in their understanding of spiritual life and encourage them to advance in the spiritual path. Because this is the conclusion from the Chamasa Maharshi. Chamasa Maharshi says like this, Stree, they particularly deserve your mercy. Chamasa Maharshi says, they particularly deserve your mercy. Why? Stree Shudral Tulkadhabi Shravanamirahito Asadam Te Dayarha. They require your mercy more than anyone else. Who? Women and the Shudras, and the particularly. Stree Shudra Tulkadhabi Shravanamirahito Asadam Te Dayarha. That they are not able to come freely, because they are not able to come and do things freely as much as they want isn't it? Generally, they are restricted by various social reasons, either due to family life or due to the social conventions. They cannot do things freely like the way the men can do. So they particularly require this stri and shudra, women and shudra also. Asadam de dayaham. And Tutpahasanayadan Dijagula Janusho Handasho Jam Ashandan Tutpahasanayadan Dijagula Janusho Handasho Jam Ashandan. It is another important thing. This is one side. Women and the Shudras, their situation is like that. What about those so called Brahmanas? They got a Brahmana's birth. They got all the samskaras in them. They got the opportunity to get purified in that way. They got the right environment for them to develop spiritually. In other words, they got the right environment to develop spiritually. Tulpadasanayadan. They have come so close to Krishna due to the opportunities they had. Dijakulajanushan. Because they got that opportunity due to their birth and the various faculties that has helped them. Handashocham ashandan. And what does these brahmanas do? They decided that they will go and make money in America. This is what they have decided. Handashocham ashandan. They decided that this is the goal of life. Let me make money. Having got this opportunity, then what else they do? This has happened in the previous times. That time people were not going to America. They were doing something else. That's what in the next part says. Vrityartham tayajande. At that time, what was, when these things were spoken, what was more prominent was, Brahmanas were busy in executing yajnam, sacrifices, and make money from that. Vrityartham tayajande. Brahmanas do this often. Not all, some of them. What do? They think that this is a privilege given to me. I can perform a fire sacrifice, make 50 pounds of it. Not bad. Not a bad thing to do. Vrityartham teyajande. Just to make money, use spiritual life. Bahukatidamabi tuam anakarnayandoho. That so many times you tell them, this is not spiritual life. You are abusing spiritual life to make money by using the sacrifices and this and that. Vrityartham teyajande bahukathitham abhi tvam anakarnayando. They won't want to hear anything. You tell them Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, what does it say? You ask them this question. They are walking around with this thread around, isn't it? Bahukathitham abhi tvam anakarnayando dutva vidyabhijate. The prayers to Krishna is that even if you make me a Shudra, don't make me a Brahmana like this. Vrityartham teyajande. Brahmana is selling spiritual knowledge and making money. This is the Brahmana of Kali Yugam. Bahukadhidamabhi. Even if you tell them millions of times, Tvam anakarnayandoho, it doesn't get into their ears. Why? Dhritva vidhya vijatyai. If you tell them, what do they say? I am a Brahmin. I know what it is all for. Tvam anakarnayando dhritva vidhya vijatyai. I got the knowledge. I've gone through all the courses and seminars. I got the certificate. I can show it to you. Dhritva vidhya vijatyai. Abhijatyam plus. I was initiated by such a great personality, so I must be properly situated. Whatever I do is perfect. Nothing can go wrong in my life. Krishna says, all this is waste of time. Dhritva vidhya vijatyehi kimuna vidhadade tadrishamma kruthamam. Don't make me a person like that. This is what one has to say to Krishna. Dhritva vidhya vijatyehi kimuna vidhadade. Please do not put me into that situation, that run around saying that I am a Brahmana and I exploit others and make money from that. Tadrishamma kruthamam. Whatever happens, let that situation not happen. Even if I don't become a devotee, it doesn't matter. But at least let me not do this. This is the conclusion. That dhritva vidhya vijatye kinuna vidhadade tadrishamma kruthamam. Please do not make me one among them.
It is better to stay as a Shudra or as a woman and do not have all these facilities rather than wandering around and cheat the world.
Dripto avidya abhijatye kimana vidhadade tadrishamma krithamam.
So, see, this is what Chamasa Maharshi is saying here. These are very, very important. This will only come from Bhagavadam. This won't come from elsewhere. Other literature may tell so many things. Perform this yagam, that yagam, this sacrifice, that sacrifice. So many things we have invented. This is not the purpose of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is meant to go back to Krishna. And the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam, Krishna has spoken. And whatever the great souls, like the great acharyas, have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu don't see anywhere else telling us to do this yagam and that yagam. What he has told us is to take the message of Bhagavadam seriously, to take the message of Srimad Bhagavadam and to realize the self. So that was a different goal altogether that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked about. So purpose of, when we leave that, when we leave the path they have shown to us and we start using it for our own sense gratification, then Chamasa Maharshi says they are worse than the Shudras. They are worse than the Shudras.
दूरे कैकदा हे जिल दूरे जा अच्युत कीर्तनाः श्री शूद्रादयश्चैव ते अनुगम्या भवा दृशाम् विप्रो राजन्य वैश्यौ च हरे प्राप्ता पदान्दियम् श्रौदेन जन्मनाथापि मुह्यन्ति आम्नायवादिनाः.
देन विप्रो राजन्य वैश्यौ च क्षत्रियास् एंड वैश्यास् and they are qualified to execute karmam according to the shrudam, shraudam. Shraudam means shrudi.
Janmanatha vimukhyandi amnayavadhinam.
That even they get sometimes, even the kshatriyas and vaishyas also, they are also qualified to hear this, but even they also fall into this category sometimes. Vedavadi. Vedavadi means that they are captivated by the karmakandam in the Vedas and they spend all their energy. You see, the self-realization is a science. And self-realization is the goal of spiritual life. It's the goal of spiritual life. All other things, what we have manufactured in this world, in order to maintain some peace and stability in the society, that cannot be the goal of life. That cannot be the goal of life. The goal of life is going back to Krishna, realizing the self. That's the goal. No other goal. All other things, what we have created, all these kind of various kinds of things, what we do in this world, is only for maintaining certain dharmam in this society. But that cannot be the goal itself. And that is what Chamasa Maharshi is talking about.
Vipra rajanya vaishyaja hare prapta padandigam shraudena janmanathabi mukhyandi amnayavadhinam.
That after given all the opportunity to them, instead of serving Krishna and realizing the value of the human life, they also think about the what, like the Brahmanas, they also think that sacrifice is meant for going to the heavenly planets and to enjoy there. And with that intention, they spend their whole lifetime in performing yagam and sacrifices. And instead of acquiring spiritual knowledge and realizing the self through process of bhakti or Krishna consciousness, if they waste their time like that, that's also very unfortunate. Chamasa Maharshi says here,
karmanyago vido sabdha murkha panditamaninaha vadandi chadugan modha eya madhva girol sugaham.
That all they know is karmanyago vido sabdha. They are so much absorbed in karmam. Karmam is that is what is driving them. They have nothing else in this life except karmam.
Karmanyago vida.
And they are thinking that by executing karmam, they will become perfect. And even they are not very clever in executing karmam properly, how to come out of it. They rather get entangled with that.
Stabda.
Stabda means very heavy false ego in them. And they are shocked by that. Because of that, they are pride inside.
Murkha.
No knowledge. Murkha. Murkha means, you know, murkha. Chamasa Maharshi is using very strong words here.
Murkha panditamanina.
Murkha means he is thinking, he doesn't know, but he thinks he knows. This is the problem.
Panditamanina,
and he says that he also feels that he is a scholar because they have studied everything.
Vadanti chaduga and moodham.
That they will talk in such a nice way to draw others into their business. In other words, they want to perform sacrifices and they will tell the rich people, look, you perform this sacrifice, all your problems will be solved and give me my dakshina. You'll be all right. Vadandi chaduvan mudha eya madhva girol sugaham. Their desire is nothing but girol, by the same Vedas they are using for this purpose. And all their enthusiasm, if you see, in distributing, in following the Vedas, you will be amazed. You may think, oh, we don't have that enthusiasm what they have got in following the Vedas. But their enthusiasm is all like this. How to make Lakshmi out of this. So that is why Chamasa is talking about here. It's a very important instructions what Chamasa Maharshi is going to talk in the next few verses. And we will require more time. So we'll discuss that next week. And Naveen will talk to you about this trip to India. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.